Hello, and welcome to The Board Table, a podcast from the North Carolina School Boards Association. I'm Leanne Winner, the association's executive director and your host. Here on The Board Table, we want to equip North Carolina school board members with the tools and knowledge they need to govern successfully. We also want to help school administrators, community members, and parents learn more about current issues in public education. In this episode of The Board Table, NCSBA legal counsel Christine Schief chats with Maya Weinstein, an attorney at Therrington Smith, about the multi-district lawsuit against social media companies. While Therrington Smith is not directly involved in the litigation, they have advised boards as they consider whether to join the lawsuit. Christine and Maya discuss the theory behind the suit, the current status of the litigation, and other issues. Let's listen in.
Thank you for joining us today for our podcast. We are going to talk with Maya Weinstein, who is an associate attorney at Therrington Smith. She has been with the firm for about 2.5 years, and Maya exclusively practices education law. Prior to law school, she was a Title IX consultant and has worked in various public education settings, including the U.S. Department of Education and public school systems. We're very happy to have her with us today to talk about a lawsuit that some of you may have heard about against social media companies. We're going to hear a little bit more from Maya about that. So I wanted to start first, Maya, with asking you about specifically what Therrington Smith's role is in this lawsuit.
Yeah, thanks so much, Christine. I'm really excited to talk about this today, so I appreciate you asking me. So Therrington Smith's role in the social media lawsuit has really just been to provide interested boards with independent guidance to help them reach an informed decision as to whether they want to join in and participate in the lawsuit. So we've had some experience working with the litigation attorneys who are actually representing the boards. And we have that experience from the past Juul vaping lawsuit and had been in contact with them as the social media lawsuit came into being. So as boards have expressed interest in this social media litigation, we have provided them some initial information and then helped connect them with the litigation attorneys and help them as they have questions to make a decision. So typically, the social media litigation team would come in and present to a board, and then we would have a separate conversation with the board about their interests, their capacity, different details. Do you believe in this case? Are you convinced? Do the facts align with what's going on in your district? Is this something that you want to put some time and energy into? And we also will review the legal documents like the retainer and the complaint to make sure that they're accurate and fairly reflect the specifics of the school district, and then may help with the agenda items, the board action, and any press releases.
Okay, thank you for that very, very thorough explanation. Let's get into the details of this suit itself. So first of all, are all of the plaintiffs involved in this suit local boards of education?
There are actually a couple of lawsuits. One is brought by local boards of education against a number of social media companies. So those are Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, ByteDance, which owns TikTok, Snap, which owns Snapchat, and Google, which owns YouTube, among other things, but in this case is specific to Google. There are also some personal injury claims. So individuals who are making allegations that they or a loved one has been harmed as a result of social media companies' actions. And then there's a separate lawsuit that has been brought by 42 attorneys general just against Meta related to Facebook and Instagram. And their allegations are a little different because they have their attorneys general enforcement power. And so they are alleging claims under the Federal Children's Online Privacy Protection Act and their state's various unfair and deceptive practices laws. So a couple of things going on, but in our case, you'll see that there are a number of school districts participating.
Okay, and you said that they are suing. You listed there, I think you said Meta, mm-hmm. which owns Facebook and Instagram, and then Snapchat and their parent company. And then I think you said there was one more I missed.
Yes. So there's ByteDance, which owns TikTok and Google for YouTube.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so what are the legal theories behind the suit?
Yeah. So in terms of the school district lawsuits, there the claims are under the state public nuisance laws and for negligence and gross negligence. And the theory is that these social media companies have engaged in, they've put algorithms in place and they are intentionally attracting young people, which is how the relationship is made to school districts, to addict them to use their platforms, and that this is causing mental health problems and problems around school districts, around discipline, bullying, and different issues around that. So sort of similar to what's been done in the opioid litigation and the vaping Juul litigation around the public nuisance specifically, this is another example of a public nuisance lawsuit against big companies creating addiction that's allegedly causing harm to consumers.
So for a local board, what is involved for them in becoming a plaintiff in this suit? Is there, are you aware of what the costs would be to districts that choose to join?
Yeah, so in general, the way that it has worked with the boards that we have worked with that have decided to join is sort of a two-step process. So they get connected with some of the attorneys who are actually representing the boards and filing the action on their behalf. And those litigation attorneys will come into closed session and present to the boards. And this is a conversation that can occur in closed session because it's related to the consideration of potential litigation. So those folks will present and then they'll leave and we'll be there and have a conversation with the board about whether they want to move forward to a vote in open session on the retainer and joining the lawsuit. In terms of cost, as part of the retainer agreement that we have seen and revised for the lawyers that we've been working with, it's contingency based and all costs are advanced by those lawyers. So they will only recover if the school district recovers something and there's no upfront cost from the school district. Our retainer agreement that we've seen is 25% for those outside attorneys. And in theory, the school districts cannot lose any money. There would be some limited cost for us as the board attorney because we are attending those closed sessions and providing guidance along the way, but that is unrelated to the retainer agreement for the actual lawsuit. So really there's nothing that school boards are paying up front. Really what a school board may see in terms of investment is staff time and resources in reviewing the complaint to make sure that it's accurate. And then there's something called a plaintiff's fact sheet that will be filed after the complaint is filed that provides some really specific information about the school district, some data related to social media discipline, some easy questions like how many elementary schools do you have? How many middle schools do you have? But staff will need to spend some time on putting together these documents and reviewing. So that's where most of the energy will go.
And obviously the companies that you named are all really large companies, and I assume they are not just, you know, conceding all of the points the plaintiffs had made. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of explain where the case is procedurally and also where it is physically? Because my understanding is even though there are districts all across the country that are involved, the case is being handled in one district in particular that's not North Carolina.
That's right. So procedurally, this is a multi-district litigation. So each school district would file their complaint in federal court in their district court, and then that complaint will be transferred to the Northern District of California, where all of these cases will ultimately be consolidated into a master complaint. There is a pending motion to dismiss filed by the defendants, And much of what the social media company defendants are arguing is that they can't be held responsible for what occurs on their websites and on their platforms. And this sort of derives from Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which is really a highly debated application of Section 230 and made its way up to the Supreme Court last year, but they did not make a decision that answered the question of how Section 230 applies to the responsibility of a social media company to what is occurring on its platform. So what they are arguing is, we host this platform, but what's happening on it, who's advertising, who's using it to do what, that's not our fault. That's not our responsibility, and we can't be held accountable to that. But what this lawsuit is alleging and what the counter argument is to that argument in the motion to dismiss is that what is happening is the social media company's business practices and algorithms are directly creating these harms and creating these addictions. So it's not as simple as these are just websites, they create an open space and leave it alone. The allegation in the complaint is that they're not leaving it alone. They are going out of their way to pull people in, and in particular young people, to engage in a certain way that ultimately harms them. So that's the main theory of the case and how it is countering this motion to dismiss.
Do you know roughly how many school boards, both nationwide and statewide, have joined the litigation to this point?
Yes, my understanding is that there are currently 236 districts in the multi-district litigation and 200 in the consolidated state action. And then in North Carolina, there are about or at least 13 school districts who are in some part of the process of joining, whether they're still in district court in North Carolina or whether they've been transferred over to California. So a good number.
Yes. Do you have any sense of the timeline of the case and when the motion to dismiss will be decided?
Yes. So the defendants filed their motion to dismiss on February 5th. The plaintiffs have filed their brief in opposition. That was on March 4th, and defendants' reply brief is due on March 25th. And then the litigation attorneys anticipate that there will be a hearing for oral argument. So sometime in the coming months, there should be a decision on the motion to dismiss. And then from there, it's tough to say the speed that litigation moves at. I will say for the structure for a multi-district litigation, what will happen is a few school districts will be identified to be bellwethers, and those school districts will proceed to a trial on these issues. And depending on what happens at those trials, that will impact strategy on either side. And in the dual litigation, they got to the day before the first bellwether, and the defendant, Jewel, decided to settle at that point. And then there was a settlement reached on behalf of all school districts. So whether or not they even make it to bellwether trials will be really telling. But if they do, then I think we'll be looking to those school districts, and they have not yet been identified, but looking to those school districts to see how the arguments play out and get a better sense for the strength of the case.
Okay. And what is the end goal of the litigation? Are the local boards that have filed suit, are they purely seeking monetary relief, or is there some effort to have the defendants change any of their practices?
Monetary relief is definitely a piece of it, but the goal is seeking a change to business practices. And some of the folks that we've worked with, some of the litigation attorneys have noted that there are a couple of routes to make change, and that litigation is a really, really strong way to do it. So the goal is, while I would think that and there is a request for compensatory and actual and punitive damages, that would ultimately support school districts in paying for resources that have maybe come out of their pockets as a result of the harms caused by the companies. The goal is to declare a public nuisance and issue an abatement order and have the company stop doing what they are doing that the complaint alleges has caused harm to students and other young people.
Okay, thank you. So if there is a board member who's listening today and they would like their board to hear more about this lawsuit and consider the possibility of joining, what should that board member or a board do? How should they proceed?
We're happy to field questions from school districts about how other school districts have proceeded with this and can connect them with the litigation team that we've worked with.
Okay, so if the board is not a Therrington Smith client, maybe they could have their board attorney reach out to your office to kind of get in touch with the right people?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in touch with all of the folks who are working on the litigation team, so we're happy to make those connections.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today for this. I think this has been really helpful and good information for boards to have. I appreciate you taking the time, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on this and updating people as the litigation proceeds.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you, Christine and Maya. That provided an interesting look at the social media litigation that has been in the press. Again, if you are a school board member and are interested in your district becoming a plaintiff, please reach out to your local school board attorney. This will definitely be one to watch unfold. Have you ever heard the saying, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu? Subscribe to this podcast to make sure you always have a seat at the table. If there's a topic you want us to cover in a future episode of The Board Table, let us know. You can find us on Twitter at NCSBA, Facebook at NC School Boards Association, or email us at info@ncsba.org. Until next time.